The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus and his disciples arrived at Bethsaida, people brought to him a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Putting spittle on his eyes, he laid his hands on the man and asked, "Do you see anything?" Looking up, the man replied, "I see people looking like trees and walking." Then he laid hands on the man's eyes a second time, and he saw clearly. His sight was restored, and he could see everything distinctly. Then he sent him home and said, "Do not even go into the village." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, let's keep taking a look at our first reading from the book of Genesis, like we've been doing for the past few days, because today and yesterday, we hear the story, the famous and beloved story of Noah and the Ark. Now, if you've heard me speak for the last few days, I've mentioned that most people think that the opening stories of the beginning of the Bible and the opening pages of the book of Genesis are little more than cute stories for children. And if ever there were a story that people thought was merely for children, it's got to be Noah and the Ark. Is there any child in the world who does not know the story of Noah and the flood and the Ark and the animals two by two? In fact, it's so well known that it's the subject of a bunch of jokes. I saw a cartoon depiction the other day, single frame cartoon, try to picture this. It's got Noah's Ark sailing off into the distance and the waters and the rains are falling. Standing on the shore are a pair of dinosaurs, one looking at the other saying, "Was that today?" It's just a joke. But they think it's a story for children. I hope you know that our tradition is much, much deeper than that. So let's take a look at a little bit of our tradition of the messages, the spiritual lessons that are taught in the story of Noah and the flood. The first is this. God always offers redemption to his people when they've fallen into sin. Because the story of Noah and the Ark is first and foremost a story of redemption. It's not the first. The first was in the Garden of Eden, and it won't be the last. God will repeat this pattern over and over and over again. That when man falls into sin and sins badly, God himself steps in to intervene and offers him a path to redemption and gives him a chance to take it. Only when we don't offer the clear and evident path to redemption, only when we're resolutely willed to continue in sin, does God correct by means of punishment or chastisement. And that's true in the story of Noah and the Ark as well. In the Ark were Noah and his three sons and their spouses, eight people in all. But did you know that the entire world was offered a chance to get on board Noah's Ark? Book of Genesis says that Noah built the Ark for 120 years. That's three full generations. And everyone had a chance to enter into the Ark and be saved, but they wouldn't. They mocked, they cursed, they laughed, they scorned. Only then did the cleansing waters of the flood fall. Another part of our tradition is that the Ark is an image of the church. In fact, if you know anything about church architecture, you know this center aisle here in the church is known as the nave. Nave from the Latin word navis, which means ship. In fact, in many churches, the center aisle of the church is even designed to look like the inside of a ship. And that imagery comes from, first and foremost, from the story of Noah and the Ark. Maybe you've heard the church described as the bark of St. Peter, sailing through the stormy waters of time to the safe shores of eternity. The imagery begins with Noah and the Ark, the idea being there's one boat. It's not a whole little flotilla of boats. There's one. And similarly, there's one church. And if you're in it, and you stay in it, you will make it. A third image, story of Noah and the Ark, is that the Ark is an image of Christ. just as all those who entered into the wood of the ark were saved from the waters of the flood, so too all those who enter by faith through the wood of the cross are saved by the waters of baptism. And even in the dimensions of the ark, now this is kind of interesting, God goes to great detail to tell Noah exactly the dimensions of the ark. It's 300 cubits long by 50 cubits wide by 10 cubits high. And just in case you're wondering, a cubit is the distance from your elbow to your fingertip. Okay. Very strange shape for a boat. If you ever went and plotted it out, it'd be incredibly long, somewhat wide, but not very wide, and really kind of not really all that high. It was St. Augustine who first noticed that those are almost exactly the dimensions of an adult male human body. Once again, the ark as an image of Christ. There's tons of little details in here. For example, the only way in the ark or out of the ark was a door that faced the east. And the book of Revelation tells us that when Christ comes again, he's going to come from the east. And all those who will be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven will find salvation through the east. Origen notes that, the church father named Origen, he notes that there were three levels in the ark, three levels. It's a bottom level, a middle level, and a top level. The bottom level were all the wild animals. In the middle level were all the domestic animals. And only on the top level were all the human beings, Noah and his family. And Origen says, if you stay within the ark, you'll be saved, but how will you be saved? You can be saved if you ride on the lowest level of the ark. You can be saved if the only thing that you're afraid of is afraid of going to hell. But do you really want to live your whole life that way? You can be saved if you're riding on the middle level of the ark, right? You're only inspired by the hope of something better, the kingdom of heaven. But do you really want to live your whole life that way? Why not go up to where you belong, to the highest level, and live your life in the love of God and his commandments? Those three levels correspond to the three spiritual levels of the purgative, the illuminative, and the unitive way. There's lots of details from the story of Noah and the ark, but probably none more important than this. When the ark strikes ground, when everyone finally gets off, Noah and his sons go right back to committing big sins. They didn't learn their lesson. And it just goes to show you that the waters of the flood can wipe clean the earth, but something more is needed to cleanse the human heart. It's God's grace, which will come later, and most importantly, our cooperation with that grace. And that leads us to the story of the gospel here. Strangest miracle in all the New Testament. Only miracle by which Jesus cures a man in two stages. He lets him see, but first only by letting him see badly. And you have to ask why. Did Jesus botch the miracle? Is this Jesus in training? Is he still learning how to work miracles? No. Whenever you see something strange in the Gospels, remember, it's got a big lesson in it. The strange ones are the richest ones. And one of the lessons here is that God works his wonders in us only with our cooperation and also our perseverance. Because we're all born blind. We don't see the truth of God, which explains why there's so many atheists. We don't see God's action in the world. Only with time and with very much cooperation do we begin to see God's presence in another person, for example. Or God's will in ordinary things. They say that when you get into heaven, you're finally going to be able to see. Be able to see the quality of someone's soul just by looking at them. Which, by the way, is when people have mystical visions of the Blessed Mother. They always say, she's so beautiful, and she's so beautiful. People say, can you describe her to me? And they say, no, I can't describe her to you. And the reason is that it's not just a physical beauty. What they're seeing is the beauty of her soul. But that comes gradually, that ability to see. Only with much time and grace and sacraments and cooperation and much perseverance. And that really stinks, doesn't it? We all wish we could go to heaven for putting in just one good day, putting in just a couple of good actions, but we have to persevere, and it really smells. Interesting little detail about Noah and the ark. Before Noah and his family got off the ark, they'd lived one full year on the ark. And you know, that really would have stunk, wouldn't it? But just remember this, no matter how much it stinks, the grace of perseverance and the grace of salvation are the same grace. If you don't quit, you will make it. Let us be faithful, following the Lord and in persevering until we all arrive safely home.